everyone. Welcome to the Unscaled Travel Show. I'm Jeremy Long, the Full Metal Traveler. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate you. We're glad you're here because we got a great show. First off, my co-explorer, Amy Long.
Hi.
She's here. She's raring to go, man. One of our favorite things to do now, we have an affinity for small towns. We grew up in a small town. And even though now we live in Las Vegas, and that's where the show is recorded, at the Diamondback Lancervain Studios here in beautiful Las Vegas, we still have that love for smaller towns and everything. But nothing really compares. No small towns really compare to those that have that claim to fame of like Wild West towns. You know, the Wild West, I mean, you know, is very American. It is like Americana at its finest. You know, the legends of the Wild West, Billy the Kid, Wyatt Earp, Doc Holliday. These are kind of those names synonymous with Wild West. But what about the towns and figures that these figures kind of pass through? And some of them, multiple. We're going to talk about, they're passing through multiples of these towns, you know, back there when they were panning for gold and during different gold rushes and things like that. And there's a ton of small towns. There's a ton of mining towns. We don't have time to get to all of them, unfortunately. But we are going to hit the highlights.
Right.
And that includes Deadwood, South Dakota. That includes Tombstone, Arizona. Dodge City, Kansas. And one of our personal favorites, San Antonio, Texas.
Right.
The fun thing is like, okay, so like we're going to start with Deadwood. Deadwood in South Dakota is a place that it really kind of stands out. I think a few years ago there was a TV show, right?
Yes, HBO, there was, yeah.
That really kind of brought it back to life a little bit. It never went away, but it really shined a new spotlight on it for a new generation of people who often, they used real characters and kind of dramatized a lot of the stuff that happened in towns. But there's a lot of stuff in this small town that actually did happen that made it into the show. Of course, maybe the murder of Wild Bill Hickok is probably the biggest historical accuracy, but a lot of the players in there, the characters in that show were actual real players like Al Swearinger and people like that, that were like real, you know, were they as maniacal as the show, you know, kind of let on? I don't know. That's up to debate, but it's still a fun town to kind of get to.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't watch the show. I was aware of it, but Deadwood is one of those towns, like you said, that when you think of the American Wild West, 1800s, Deadwood's one of those towns that just immediately pops into your head. Like, you just have that image. And I don't know if it is from previous TV shows, movies that it may have been referenced, or that was the setting. I doubt it was from my high school or middle school history classes, because that was not my thing. Totally your thing. Yeah. You love history. I find it more interesting now, but as a kid, I didn't retain a whole lot of history. So I feel like when I've heard of Deadwood, it probably was through TV or movies. But when we start talking about Wild West towns, that's the first one that comes to mind besides Tombstone.
Right. And I think the movies and media have really helped in those aspects, which a lot of these old towns kind of faded away because there was, you know, people stopped telling the stories. Deadwood was found in 1876. Of course, it was one of those gold rush towns. I think they found gold in the area around 1874. A lot of names from history that you might know, like George Armstrong Custer, Custer's Last Stand. You know, he led the 7th Cavalry out there, and they were looking around for gold and different things back when the American government was making treaties and breaking treaties pretty often. We're not going to get into the politics of all that. But, I did mention that there are a lot of historical figures that are bound to Deadwood, even though, like, we talk about the murder of Wild Bill Hickok. Wild Bill Hickok was a gunslinger and gambler and probably a very, very famous name in Wild West lore. He was only in town. I didn't know this until I did research. He was only in town a few weeks.
Really?
Like, he didn't live there. Oh. And he wasn't, like, he didn't grow up there. He was only in town a few weeks before he was murdered by a man named Jack McCall. Here's all your history and everything. While, you know, he was shot in the back while he was playing poker. Do you know what hand that they still call today that he was holding in his hand?
Well, I know it's called the dead man's hand, but yeah. I don't know what it
aces
is.
And eights.
Okay.
He, you know, allegedly, legend has it he had a hand of aces and eights, and now that's known as the dead man's hand.
Don't they reference that in just totally off topic? The Pirates of the Caribbean movie. We watched it not too long ago, and they reference the dead man's hand.
Yeah.
Now that you say that, they do say aces and eights,
which would not
have made sense since that was
exactly
centuries before.
Yeah. So he was murdered on August 2nd, 1876. So the same year, actually a couple of months after the town was actually founded, he was murdered. But there's a lot more. Calamity Jane, another name.
Yeah.
She's buried there. She's buried right by or pretty close to Wild Bill Hickok. Allegedly, she died years later, and she was very famous, and she made a name for herself and everything. Allegedly, her last words were, bury me near Bill.
Aw.
Yeah, because some unreturned love, you know, Wild Bill was married, she loved him.
Oh.
And, you know, kind of some things, you know. But then there's guys like, you know, and I won't go into the history of it, but like this guy's name, his nickname, and we need to get back to having real nicknames for people. This guy's name was John Parrott. But his actual alias was Potato Creek Johnny.
I don't even have anything to say to that. That's just funny.
Wouldn't you like to be Potato Creek Amy?
No.
That would be just...
What would that make you?
Spud.
Oh, my God.
Spud Daddy Germ. I like that.
Potato Creek. Like,
they call me Potato Head. Yeah, I got a big old head, boy. Potato Head Jeremy, yeah. But things to do if you go to town. They often have reenactments of the trial of Jack McCall, who actually in real life was found not guilty.
Really?
Because they didn't have law back there. It was like, it was a group of miners who did it.
Oh.
Not young children, but like miners who worked.
Miners with an E, not an
there
O.
There you go, there you go. So they do reenactments of both the shooting and the trial. They actually have a train, a steam engine train. The 1880 train that you can buy tickets on and ride, and it goes through the Black Hills. And if you've never been to the Black Hills, you know, or the Black Hills National Forest or anything, it's a beautiful part of the country. A large, large swath of it's untouched, you know, so it's a lot of that beautiful scenery that you really fall in love with. And they use in movies when they do westerns and things like that.
Right.
Nearby, Badlands National Park. So if you love national parks, Badlands is very close. It's a very short drive away. Mount Rushmore. But they have the wind has seemingly carved portraits of the presidents, some of the presidents into the side of rock. And then, of course,
Did you say the wind?
The wind. Because okay. I don't know the gentleman's name that did it. I know someone did it, but I'm just going to say the wind.
It's not Sir Rushmore?
Yeah. <no. laughs> It was Potato Creek Rushmore. He did it. And, of course, tons of history in that area, of course. Little Bighorn, where George Armstrong Custer met his end, is far away. But that area where he served, he actually served a lot with the 7th Cavalry. And, of course, the great Native American chief, Crazy Horse. There's tons of history in that area that you can explore if you love those things. Of course, kids find, you know, depending on your kid, they find that stuff interesting. And if you're a motorcycle rider, then you know about Sturgis, which is nearby, which every year they do a huge motorcycle rally, which is totally American.
Yeah.
You know, just that's the most American thing you could do. Go to Sturgis and participate in that. Where to eat and drink around town. We actually did an interview last year sometime with the Deadwood Mountain Grand Hotel. And I spoke to George Milos there, who gave us a lot of great information. You can search that on fullmetaltraveler.com. Lots of great places to eat and drink and things like that. We'll give you some more. There's so much information, and we want to get it all to you. So we're talking about Deadwood, South Dakota. We're going to have some more Wild West towns. Yeah, we are. Yeah, you like that. Come on. Come back right after this break. It's Potato Creek Germ and Amy Long. It's the Unscaled Travel Show. We'll be right back.
Unscaled Travel Show is brought to you by Diamondback Land Surveying. For all your land surveying needs, contact Diamondback Land Surveying at 702 702- 823-DBLS.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Unscaled Travel Show. I'm Jeremy Long, the Full Metal Traveler. As always, you can find our past episodes and interviews at fullmetaltraveler.com. We're coming to you from the Diamondback Land Surveying Studios in beautiful Las Vegas. We're talking Wild West towns, some of our favorites. We can't get to all of them, but we got a few lined up for you, good ones. We were talking about Deadwood, South Dakota. Now we're going to talk a little bit about Dodge City, Kansas. At one point, one of the most violent cities in the United States, and of course, in the Wild West, there were loose laws. They're more like guidelines.
Were they even laws?
Yeah, they were just kind of assumptions that you shouldn't kill people. A little bit later on, we're going to talk to Bruce Burdett from the city of Tombstone, Arizona. And of course, we're going to talk about San Antonio, Texas. I was given some places for Deadwood real quick. I want to go back. Places to eat and drink. The Bodega Bar and Brew, which formerly was the Buffalo Bar in Deadwood, South Dakota, that it's been at this original site since 1877.
Oh, wow.
So if you want to drink or do you want to hang out with ghosts, definitely go there.
So pretty much since the town became a town,
since
right?
The town became the town, you know. And, of course, the Deadwood Badlands and Brothel Bar. So if you want a crafted cocktail and some hepatitis... Just tell them Potato Creek Germ sent you. We're talking. Okay, let's get this. Not invited back there. Dodge City, Kansas. Dodge City was founded in 1872. At one point known as Queen of the Cow Towns or the wickedest little city in America. It had a very high murder rate. And of course, historical Wild West figures like Bat Masterson, Wyatt Earp, these kind of figures, Doc Holliday, all found their travels led them to Dodge City, where Wyatt and Bat Masterson were lawmen. Doc Holliday was running his gambling schemes and doing things like that, gunfighting with people. But they call it Queen of the Cowtowns because lots of longhorns from Texas and cows and everything from, you know, different areas found their way up to Dodge City, where cowboys got a lot of money, and then they have...
But wasn't that, like, the point of the railroad, like, where it kind of stopped mid-U.S. at the time? So everything kind of drove up to Kansas.
And they would take the beef and send it back east, you know, to more populated areas and things like that.
So Dodge City, Kansas was kind of like...
Dodge City.
It was an important place in the history.
It was, at one point, for a few years, it was like the epicenter of... the American Wild West, as far as getting beef back to the East Coast, getting grains and things like that from the Midwestern areas that weren't yet states, a lot of them, those kind of things, and mining, you know, mining facilities and things like that. But it was also this kind of area that, you know, you did have this lawlessness, cowboys with not a whole lot of, you know, not a lot of entertainment. They often find themselves in trouble with women and booze and quick with a gun and slow with any apology, you know.
So is this where the show Gunsmoke comes from?
Yes. Look All at right. you learning. Look, come on, man. You knew that.
Well, I think everyone has heard the phrase, get the hell out of Dodge.
Yeah.
And you're the one that told me it was from the show Gunsmoke. I remember the show. I didn't really watch it. My grandpa watched Gunsmoke.
I'm like an 80-year-old, 40-year-old guy. So there's 20, you know, that show was on air for like 20 years.
I know it ran for a long time, but I personally didn't watch it, but I remember seeing my grandpa watching it when I would be over at their house. People loved that show.
Like, they had guys like Hoss and Miss Kitty. And
right.
And so the villains were oftentimes told, they were commanded, get the hell out of Dodge. And that meant, don't you ever come back here. And it just stuck in popular culture. And now people still use it to this day. At least in America. I don't know if people say it anywhere else because I don't know if they would get the reference. But if you want to impress your friends and you live overseas, you just be like, hey, get the hell out of Dodge. And they'll be like, what? But there's so much to do there, too. Yes, they kind of lean into Wild West culture. there. They have a Boot Hill Museum and a Boot Hill Cemetery, just kind of like Tombstone.
Right, right.
The museum, they have tons of artifacts that go back into the 1880s. They've done a very, very good job of like preserving their history as a town. And, you know, some of the more lawless, you know, things they don't like to amplify, but hey, it is a part of their history. So they do have a gunfighter wax museum with figures like a Wyatt Earp, Sitting Bull, the great Native American chief, Jesse James, and these kind of figures.
Wax museums always kind of freak me out.
They do. They freak me out.
A, they never look exactly like the person. Like, it's always a little bit off.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Like, it just freaks me out to go and look, and it's like, something's just not quite right with
But this the eyes just follow you, you know? When that movie Night at the Museum came out with Ben Stiller, that was my nightmare. Like, really? Those things come into life.
It's hilarious.
Oh my God. If it was like Robin Williams, like, what the, you know?
That's hilarious.
You just, I don't know. It kind of freaks me out, man. But yeah, wax museums. Not a fan. Like, not I don't go to Ripley's.
No.
It's not that, you know, I tell other people don't go to Ripley's, but for me personally, like, ooh.
I prefer other kinds of museums, but off topic.
Okay. So they have, you know, museums of different kinds. You don't have to go to the wax one. They also have something that sounds really cool. I haven't been to this, but it's a 10-day event, usually during the summertime, that attracts 100,000 plus people every single year, and it's Dodge City Days, which this is the part about like small town America that I do actually miss.
Right.
And we came from a small town, we grew up there, and we had these big heritage, we called it the Heritage Festival, where we're from, but other people have, you know, this city has the Dodge City Days. It's almost like the entire town shuts down.
Right.
And you just have this big festival and celebration.
There's
for days
rides
on end.
And games and food and, you know, the high school choir's up there singing and your little darling is doing tap dancing on stage and there's a parade. And then usually there's some type of like crafting day where there's all kinds of booths and you can get homemade pretty much anything and everything. Yeah. I love it. That is one of the things that I miss about living in a small town.
And it's really great, man. Like they do the, of course, reenactments. They have gunfights and different. I think the acts change year in year. They probably have a parade of some sort, a float parade, you know, and they have the little like Miss Dodge City. I don't know if they actually do that, but they should and have like a six shooter, you know. then I did actually go to their website. You can go to visitdodgecity.org and look at all their events and things. And they do have the young ladies dress up like Miss Kitty. Oh. And I don't.
From Gunsmoke. All right.
I don't know.
I don't know how I feel about that. But you know
I'm
what?
I'm mixed.
Lean into what makes your town or your city special. I'm all for that.
They also have Main Street Festival in June, and they actually have a working trolley that you can explore the town on. You could ride the trolley. You can go to Miss Kitty's Cafe, the Stockyard Cafe, or the Casey Cowtown Club, which provides a tour of the restaurant, and you also get like a history lesson with your meal. So there's tons of fun things to do, lots of places to eat. Hey, Miss Kitty's Cafe. Come on, Amy. Are you not going to go to that?
I guess we'll have to check it out next time we're in Dodge City.
We're going to Dodge City Days. Let's do it. Stay right here. It's an Unscaled Travel Show. We're going to have more right after this.
Unscaled Travel Show is brought to you by Diamondback Land Surveying. For all your land surveying needs, contact Diamondback Land Surveying at 702-823-DBLS.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Unscaled Travel Show. I'm Jeremy Long, the Full Metal Traveler. As always, you can find all of our past episodes and interviews on fullmetaltraveler.com. Our next guest is a native of Arizona who currently resides in Tombstone. Bruce is a graduate of Willamette University in Salem, Oregon, and today is the marketing manager for the city of Tombstone. That's a great job. You know, we got him on the line. We're going to talk some Wild West history and what you and your family can expect when you visit one of the best small towns. And of course, the town too tough to die in Arizona. Thanks for joining us today, Bruce.
Well, thank you for having me on, Jeremy. Yeah, Tombstone, the town too tough to die.
So for people, we have a lot of listeners outside of the United States. Now, Tombstone is kind of that town, you know, most people know in the United States know they think of Wyatt Earp, they think of Doc Holliday. So let's give a condensed version, a little bit about Tombstone and why it is so important and stays, I guess, in the imagination of the American public and why people love it so much even to today.
Well, sure. So Tombstone was originally an area called Goose Flats in southern Arizona. I don't know why they called it Goose Flats. We don't have any geese. I don't know how that came about. But there was a man who was an Indian scout. He was over at what's now called Fort Huachuca, which is an army base over in Sierra Vista, which is about 20 miles away. And he was a prospector. So he liked to be an Indian scout so that when he was out scouting, he would look and see the types of minerals and stuff he could find. And he happened to cross silver in the Tombstone, what's now the Tombstone area. And it became the largest silver strike in Arizona. And, you know, what many people know Tombstone about is the shootout at the OK Corral. That's where Wyatt Earp and his brothers and Doc Holliday went up against what they called the Cowboys, which were, depending on who you talk to, you get different stories. Because some people are like, oh, they were just all outlaws. And other people are like, no, you know, people still argue today on who are the good guys and bad guys in that. But there was the famous shootout at the OK Corral. We have the first operational Arizona State Park in Tombstone. That is the Tombstone Courthouse State Historic Park. And we've got Boot Hill Graveyard. And so it started out as a small mining town. But at one time, it was the largest city west of the Mississippi River. And that includes areas like L.A. and Tucson and Phoenix and all that. It was bigger than all of those at one time. And, you know, we're so much like the way Tombstone was back in the day. We've got a lot of original buildings and things still. And even buildings that burnt, there was a couple of big fires here where it burnt up, you know, hundreds of buildings. So even buildings that aren't considered to be exactly original, because the town was founded in 1879, there were businesses that were rebuilt by 1881. So, you know, it's pretty authentic. And we actually received the honor from the Department of the Interior being a national historic landmark representing the Wild West.
What are some of those must-see historical attractions in Tombstone that, you know, families shouldn't miss, and why are they so significant to the town's history?
Well, probably the most kid-friendly thing that we have. I mean, we've always got the gunfights and things like that. We've got gunfight reenactments and things like that, and kids love those. We have a group called the Tombstone Vigilantes that do Vigilante Sunday every second and fourth Sunday of the month, where they do free on-the-street entertainment. You can even get hung by them if you want. They don't actually hang you, but it looks like they're going to hang you. Yeah, it's not a good idea to hang your tourists. Interestingly enough, we had a woman that came here. Her name's Susan, or Ella, I'm sorry. And she had visited from the UK. And her comment, which I use all the time in social media posting, is her big thing was, Tombstone, come as a tourist, leave as a friend, which I find it to be awesome. Yeah. But one of the places that's great for families is the Good Enough Mine Tour. And the Good Enough Mine is one of the original mines in Tombstone. It had a thing called the Million Dollar Stope, where they took, in 1880s money, $1 million of silver out of one area of this mine. Wow. And so there's a complete mine tour. It's a real 1880s mine. It's not redone or revamped in any way. But on the same grounds with that, they've got like a kids mine where kids can go in there and literally pull mineral stones out of the wall. And they also have, you know, a petting zoo and stuff like that, where they've got all kinds of stuff. They've got llamas and donkeys and burros and a tiny Brahma bull and things. It's a very cool thing for kids. The courthouse, while the courthouse itself is mostly a museum, which, you know, if the kids are young, they're probably not as interested in a museum as they could be. Mm-hmm. But the courthouse runs things where they do like junior park ranger events, where specifically for kids, where they get them to be junior park rangers, and they tell them how the inner workings of things work and how to be a park ranger and all that. That's very cool. You know, the OK Corral gunfight, if the kids are a little bit older, if they're small, you know, I mean, they are shooting guns. So it's kind of a bit of a historical reenactment with a lot of information in it. But it's also kind of got a little bit of comedy in there, too. That's always a good place for kids to go. And anytime there's events in town, there's always kids stuff lined up with those. You know, it's going to go up too late for this, but like this for this show, but this weekend, which is going to be the week before the show goes up, you know, we've got donkey races in town and pooper scooper competitions and pie eating contests and things like that. All the kind of stuff that kids love. We do have things though, like we do a great July 4th thing. You know, we've had things where we've had, you know, 1,000 water balloons and have a giant water balloon fight. We have a big fireworks display, things like that. And,
you know, Tombstone, Bruce, remains a really popular tourist destination. In your opinion, what is it that keeps people coming back?
Well, I think the number one thing that brings people coming back, I have a feeling if the gunfight at the OK Corral had never happened, I don't think Tombstone would still be here. It was such an integral part of Wild West history that it just blew up. And, you know, there's a lot of mining towns in southern Arizona where you go there and it's a bunch of nothing. I mean, there's like barely any adobe remains or anything like that. And we've been here tried and true. The other thing is, because of the OK Corral, there's been a lot of movies and books and things about Tombstone. I mean, obviously the movie Tombstone, which we just had a 30th anniversary for last year, had a bunch of stars from the movie out here. But, you know, also the movie Wyatt Earp has a big section of it's done in Tombstone. You know, gunfight at the OK Corral with like Burt Lancaster and, oh my God, I can't remember his name. Kirk Douglas. You know, there's been like 20 movies made about Tombstone, and you know, and that helps keep it going as well.
Bruce, thank you so much for your time. Right. Folks, go to discovertombstone.com. You'll find all the information, business listings, and everything. And you know, go once, and you'll discover why Tombstone remains that place, the town that is too tough to die, and you'll find yourself going back for more and more. Speaking of more and more, keep it right here on the Unscaled Travel Show. When we come back, we're going to have more right after this.
Unscaled Travel Show is brought to you by Diamondback Land Surveying. For all your land surveying needs, contact Diamondback Land Surveying at 702-823-DBLS.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Unscaled Travel Show. I'm Jeremy Long, the Full Metal Traveler. Visit us online, fullmetaltraveler.com, all of our past episodes and interviews. And hey, catch us on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or wherever you consume your podcasts. If you listen to us, please give us a 5-star review. Leave us a nice review, man. It helps other people figure out that this show is awesome. You know it. We know it. Tell other people about it, right? It helps us out. We're coming to you from the beautiful Diamondback Land Surveying Studios in Las Vegas, Nevada.
And we're talking Wild West towns, which, I mean, you could include probably Las Vegas in this, even though it got a later start. And there's all kinds of cities that we don't have time to get to. There's like Virginia City here in Nevada, mm-hmm. And Reno and lots of places like this that you could name, and they have their own histories. And there's so many mining towns, that ghost towns that are now, you know, petered out and everything. But we're hitting the classics here. Deadwood, South Dakota, Dodge City, Kansas. And we were just talking to Bruce Burnett from Tombstone, Arizona, and we're about to talk about San Antonio, but I want to stick on Tombstone for a second because we've gone.
We did.
We've had some fun experiences. We've done so many different things. What did you think about Tombstone, and what were some of your favorite thoughts?
So I know you have a love for the movie Tombstone, and you have a love of history.
I'm your Huckabee.
So for your birthday, I really wanted to give you something I knew you wouldn't do for yourself. Mm-hmm. So I took you to Tombstone.
That was so cool. It was one of the best birthday presents ever.
It was a present to me because you were so excited to walk around this town. You would stop on the corner and say, "This is where Doc Holliday stood. This is where Wyatt Earp walked to go from this place to this place." And it was just, I mean, we had our daughter with us, and we both were just so happy seeing how happy you were and that you got to go in these places where these people that you have this such a deep interest of, like, you stood in the same place as they stepped. It was really cool to see it through your eyes.
Oh, it was fun. That was a really special birthday. And and you guys just kind of let me be a kid and run around, and I drug you guys to everything. I drug you to every
reenactment,
shooting reenactment, OK Corral reenactment. I think we did the
one inside the restaurant,
Crystal Palace shooting reenactments there, and then we rode around in a stagecoach. We did a ghost tour.
We did. That was interesting.
It was very interesting. And you just kind of let me do. And it was one of the best birthdays ever, man. I love it when you just let me be a nerd. And this is one of those places. If you love history, or if you like the movie Tombstone, or even to a lesser degree, Wyatt Earp, a terrible Kevin Costner movie, but it's almost so bad it's good. You know, but actually it's good. It was more accurate to what actually happened than, you know, Tombstone was. But Tombstone, with those performances, I mean, Kurt Russell, and I mean, Val Kilmer.
I mean, yeah.
That one is the one people know Val Kilmer for.
Absolutely.
That or Iceman and Top Gun. But he had more lines in Tombstone. People who love Tombstone can quote every single line in that movie, and I'm one of those people.
Right. And that's one of the things, too, walking around the town and in front of different restaurants and bars, they have the different quotes from the movie on signs, and they have, like, merch from the movie, too. It was visiting
fun.
A movie set, almost.
Yeah. Yeah.
But this is the real place it happened.
And I think last year, 2023, I think it was the 30th anniversary of it. And they had a celebration. A lot of the stars came out from that movie Tombstone and, you know, kind of, interacted with the town and visitors and things like that. So I missed that.
But we did go to the cemetery there. I think you referenced
Boot Hill
in the other location. But we went to this one and walked around. And it was really, I don't want to say interesting, but seeing what they used to put on people's tombstones, actually. Yeah. just different things, little kind of limericks. It's a little bit funny.
Sad, the less more.
Yeah.
Four shots from a 44, no less, no more. I was like, wow, someone gave him a rhyme. Like, okay, sign me up for one of those. Let's switch topics real quick to San Antonio. San Antonio is older than all of them. San Antonio was founded in the early 1700s, I think 1718. It was a mission city with, you know, Spanish missionaries coming up through back when it was still Mexico, before any of that stuff ever happened. And it's called the Alamo City, probably the most famous mission because of the battle that took place there at the Alamo and the famous cry, "Remember the Alamo," after all of the things that happened. Today, it is a humongously popular tourist center and business center for, you know, the entire southern United States. And it's really great to just, if you are a foodie, mm-hmm. if you are into history, you're into paranormal, you're into sports. They have a number of great sports teams. There's so many things that cater to so many people. Technology, it's actually like a tech hub as well. And this culinary scene, we know Tex-Mex. Mm-hmm. This is kind of the birthplace of Tex-Mex. This is where it was, you know, perfected and crafted over all these years. So and now good. It's like one of the, if not the most popular dining option now in all of America is Tex-Mex. And it grew rapidly and everything. But it's this city with so much to do that it's impossible to name it all. But like,
staying on food, though, didn't you say it's only one of two towns in the entire country that has some?
It has a UNESCO heritage like food designation. It's like for cultural significance. San Antonio has one. Tucson, Arizona has the other. So it just means, you know, and they recognize it for Tex-Mex in particular, the creation of it, which was a blend of settlers and Tejanos and Native Americans and like all of these different flavors kind of combining. And they used to have these ladies called the Chili Queens in San Antonio, who used to sell chilies and things like that in this open air market. And they did it for years and years and years. And so it's just a blend of all of these things. And it's like cheese with spices.
Oh, yeah.
And I love it. There's so much history that we could almost do an entire show on Tex-Mex, which I think we should.
We should. But basically, San Antonio is the epicenter of Tex-Mex.
It really is.
If you like it, you have to visit San Antonio and eat.
Yeah.
Which we've done multiple times.
And it's beautiful. We've gone there at Christmas time.
Yeah.
We rented a house there, and they have this beautiful, if you've never been to San Antonio, they have the famous River Walk, which follows the river that runs through the city, and it's all lined with shops and eateries, and it stays packed with people because it is a very nice place to kind of spend some time. But there, of course, is the Alamo, which sits at the center of town. If you don't know the Alamo, a lot of people do from the John Wayne movie, The Alamo in 1960.
I was going to say a lot of people know it from Miss Congeniality.
They might know it from Miss Congeniality. That's a little bit sooner, yes. Or they had that movie a while back with Billy Bob Thornton and I think, what's his name? I don't remember.
I just picture beauty queens walking in front of the Alamo.
It's also that one. They just opened recently, within the last couple of years, the Alamo Collection Center, which a lot of it came from Phil Collins.
Really?
Who was an avid collector of Alamo and Wild West like memorabilia, and he's donated a lot of this stuff. That's, I mean, 200,000 pieces, I think. I'm thinking that, but I got to tour it when I visited San Antonio with their group. It's a beautiful place that sits right beside the Alamo, and you can still tour the Alamo and see like the real bullet holes.
Yeah.
That are still there in the walls and things like that. You can take a river cruise and go down the River Walk or see all the botanical gardens and all the, there's different missions. There's so many missions.
And it's a great family.
It's a beautiful family place to go to.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many different like attractions for younger kids and kind of teenagers. Like you could go there any age range and find things to do.
They also have like Legoland and the famous San Antonio Zoo, Hopscotch Art Gallery. If you are into art and culture, it's like immersive experiences there as well. And of course, the Pearl District. The Pearl District was like an old Pearl beer brewing distribution center like back in the day. Now it has like the Hotel Emma and all of these culinary places that are just blending like the new wave of Tex-Mex with all these different things that are happening right there. So you can go to the Pearl District, which sits right in the middle of town. So, a lot of great places.
We did the ghost tour in Tombstone, but you also did a ghost tour in San Antonio.
I did with RJA Ghost Tours. My guy, Robert James Anthony, he does an incredible ghost tour. He gets into it. He knows all the places that are haunted. I mean, you really walk around the city at night, and it feels like you're... I mean, like you're going, Slimer's going to jump out at you. Something like that, man. It is crazy, but it was so much fun. I recommend, highly recommend the ghost tour. And also, if you want to do the food chick tours with my girl, Julia Rosenfeld. Some great things to do, right? Okay. Unscaled Travel Show, Wild West Edition. Potato Germ, out.